Well, good morning, everyone. A special good morning to a young lady who is just starting school. It's lovely to see her here, sitting beside Big Brother, who doubtless will look after her very carefully. Well, it's nice to see you all. These are strange times, the significance of which probably you have not yet realized. But in years to come, I have no doubt you will look back on this year and you will realize that something very special began. It was the beginning of a most important time in the history of mankind. That's my idea anyway, and my view, and I feel that it will prove to be so. Now we're turning back to the chapter we were looking at the last time we were together. The book of Hebrews, and the chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's 24 weeks ago that we were together. And you can easily calculate that since there are 52 weeks in the year, it's nearly half a year since we were meeting in this fashion. That's quite a lengthy time. You should be well rested after such a long, well, not call it a holiday, but a break from school. And when I was last with you, I said these words, for I was coming back on that particular morning, having spoken to you on previous morning. And so I said, we continue where we left off last Friday, in what may well be the last assembly for quite some time. We are living in strange times, boys and girls. The hand of God has brought the nations to this state of confusion, fear, and weakness. And we have seen what I said back then to have been very true, and the state of confusion that we saw but beginning back then is even more evident in the world today. Now, I know you don't follow the news that closely, and probably you're very wise if you don't, but if you did pick up here and there little bits of news, you would know that across the whole world, as a result of this little virus, the coronavirus, there has come great confusion amongst the nation. Financial confusion, commercial confusion, political confusion, the like of which I would say has never been seen before to such a degree. So we are living in significant times, and it's all the more important in times like this that we read the Bible. Now every time your mum or dad switches on the news, they hear the Prime Minister's view, opposition leaders' views, medical experts, scientists, and umpteen others, all with a microphone stuck in front of them telling you what they think. And the chances are, if you listen carefully, the first person who spoke is contradicted by the second or third person who speaks, and the both of them are contradicted by the next person who speaks. Because you see, men are in confusion, and there's not a great deal of benefit to be gained from listening to them, since you don't know which one of them is really telling you the truth. And I say again, it is all the more important in times such as this that we read the Bible. Read the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us that God knows the end from the beginning. You don't know how this day will end. If I'm only speaking of the weather, it's reasonably nice out there at the moment, but we don't know what it will be like in an hour's time. We just don't know. And I think the weatherman doesn't know either, because he often gets it wrong. There's so much we don't know, but God knows the end from the very beginning. That's because He, and He alone, planned it all. That's how He knows. He planned it all. So all things will work together according to God's great purpose. Nothing happens outside of God's grand purpose and His holy will. So I have to stress that to you, because there are many. In fact, The vast majority of people in this world today are in fear and dread and don't know what's going to happen and how are things going to turn out. People in the business world, people in the political world, people in the military world, they don't know what's going to be the outcome of all this. But when you read the Bible, you find there God's assurances as to how things will work out. You see it all set forth very clearly. And if you love the Lord, and if you're saved today, then He will especially, as it were, whisper in your ear from the Bible, "Don't worry, all's well, all's well." So we're going to have a wee look at the Bible today, taking up our study. You remember how we entitled our study. It was Bright and Shining Lights in the Bible. We got that from the description of John the Baptist by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure the memory bank is beginning to stir and you're saying, "Oh yes, now I remember." The Savior said of John the Baptist, he was a bright and a shining light. And that's what it would please the Lord if each and every one of us who are saved were today. Bright and shining lights in the midst of the darkness of this world. On the coast around the United Kingdom and many other nations, there are what they call lighthouses. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Buildings that are tall, 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 built on a rock at the very edge of the sea, oftentimes, sometimes further out to sea on a rock. And they're shining a tremendous light so that ships out there on the sea, especially in times of storm and fog, see the light and know to keep away from the rocks. Well, you and I should be shining lights, telling the world about the rocks that they could be shipwrecked upon, and that they need to seek safety and shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're looking at in this series of messages. Bright and shining lights. Now we have come to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because it's filled with shining lights. It starts right back there in the beginning. We talk about Abel in verse 4. And it traces the great men and women. And women! Oh, I like to emphasize that, boys and girls. And I like to emphasize that for the sake of the girls in particular. Because there are many who forget that God used some ladies in a very wonderful way. Very wonderful way. And there's some of them mentioned here in this chapter. Great women. Great women. I was reading about one of the great women this morning in my Bible reading, in Samuel, the book of Samuel, Abigail. And the way God describes Abigail, you can't help but like that lady, admire that lady. She must have been a lovely person. And if you had met her, I know that her face would have been shining and she had a smile that would have delighted you. And I know that. And she is but one of many. Well, not only men, but women are mentioned here, and how they walk with God and live by faith. And we've come to Moses. Now, there's a lot said about Moses. The story of Moses begins in verse 23, and it goes right on down to the verse 29. Abraham, he gets more verses, and rightly so, for he was the father of the faithful. He was the beginning of the great nation of Israel. But Moses gets quite a section here, and that indicates to us that God thought him a very important person. I better get to my text this morning. I haven't even got that far, and it's nearly time for me to finish. But then, those of you who remember me in the past know that I can wander around all over the place before I get to my text. And even when I do get to my text, I sometimes still wander. But in my wanderings, I hope I say something that's beneficial and encouraging to you. My text then. Well, it's there in the verse 24. That's how far we have progressed in our study, and that's where we left off back in March. March 20th was the last time I was with you. And we looked at the verse 23 then. But here we're going to look at verse 24. Look at what it says. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I read that again, because boys and girls, I can never say anything more important than the words of my text. I can never say anything more important than the words of my text. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. First thing I want you to notice, and it's going to be the last thing I want you to notice, for we'll get no further today. But here's what I want you to notice first of all. In his early life, Moses was under the influence of his mother and this other woman, Pharaoh's daughter. Two influences. You know what an influence is. In other words, there was an exercising of two forces upon the mind and the heart of Moses. His mother would have sought to instruct him, guide him, point him in a certain way, and Pharaoh's daughter, naturally enough, she too would have exercised upon the mind and the heart of Moses another influence. She would have pointed Moses in another way. So, he had these two forces working upon his life. His mother pointing him one way, Pharaoh's daughter pointing him another way. I read to you from Exodus chapter 2. You older ones can turn it up. Exodus chapter 2, and the verse 8 reads as follows. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, that was Moses' older sister. Pharaoh's daughter had just found Moses in a little cradle, a little floating cradle among the reeds in the River Nile. And Moses' sister, who had been secretively watching over him, she goes forward to Pharaoh's daughter, and she said, I can get a nurse to look after this baby for you, if you want. And Pharaoh's daughter, verse 8, said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. She was going to be the nurse. How clever is the wonderful purpose of God. At this time, Pharaoh's daughter wouldn't have known that this Hebrew woman, that the young lassie had run away and brought back to look after the baby, was in fact the baby's mother. And the instructions given to Moses' mother by Pharaoh's daughter, verse 9, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. Oh, it's only very recently, boys and girls, that your mommy received help from the government to look after you. And when I think of you, your mommy would have needed help to look after you. But it's only recently. That was not known for thousands of years in this world. But here we have a mother, head by one who we may call the head of the government. She was very close to the head of the government, Pharaoh's daughter, paying this woman to look after her own baby. And so the woman took the child and nursed it. She cared for the little baby. Oh, how wonderful is the providence of God. I'd love to stand here and think about it with you. Remember, in Pharaoh's country at that time, the king had said, kill all the boys. That was the law. Every Israelite boy had to be killed. Because Pharaoh was getting scared. There were that many Israelites being born, and the number of the Israelites was increasing and increasing in the land of Egypt. And so Pharaoh came up with a scheme. And like all men's schemes, cruel, wicked, ungodly. Kill all the boys. That will stop the spread of the nation. But here is the wonderful providence and wisdom of God. Here is one of the boys that was supposed to be put to death, and Pharaoh is raising that boy unwittingly, not knowing. Isn't that wonderful how God can work his purpose? You know, boys and girls, I've often said this, and I seek to be reverent when I say it. God has a sense of humor.
God likes to laugh at the devil. And is he not laughing here at Pharaoh?
Pharaoh's going to kill all the boys born of the Israelites. And God says, no, you're not. In fact, you're going to raise one of them. And he, in my time, will destroy you and all of Egypt. That's how the story ends, as you well know. When the Exodus took place and the Red Sea swallowed up the mighty army of Egypt. I tell you, God likes to laugh at his enemies. So here's Moses, and he's in the palace, being raised, looked after and nursed by his mum, but he's being raised. And consequently, there were these two influences at work upon his heart and his mind, that of his mother and that of Pharaoh's daughter. I'll conclude by saying, Moses' mother, for she was a godly woman. You read that in the verse 23. Just you older ones, look at that. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were godly people, the parents of Moses. And his mum, when she nursed that little baby in her arms, would have been whispering to that little baby, likely singing to that little baby songs about Israel. And she would have been teaching the word of God by singing, I've no doubt about that, and by direct speaking to the child, so that Moses had this influence upon him. He was told what God's plan for Israel was, as far as his mother would have understood it at that time. But then there was the other influence, the daughter of Pharaoh. And I have no doubt when Moses would have been growing up, she would have taken him by the hand and she would have said, come on, let me show you the palace. Let me show you the greatness of our kingdom. Let me show you the riches. Let me show you the great buildings, the architecture. What a great people we are! You know, we are the people. So there was a mother telling him about God's purpose for the Jew downtrodden at that time. And then there was this other woman telling him about the splendors of Egypt. And boys and girls, each one of you, you're under the same influences. There are those who speak to you about that which the mother of Moses would have spoken to him about. God's plan, God's purpose, the future, what God is going to do. And then there are others you will meet, and they'll talk to you about the world and its wonder and its pleasures and its adventures and its delights, and suggest to you that that's the direction in which you should go. That's where you should turn your eyes. So there's two influences working on you. I hope one of them is very evident right now, for I'm telling you about the Lord. I'm telling you about God's great plan. I'm telling you that he has sent a Savior into the world for you to trust in. But on the other hand, the world is there calling and speaking to you and telling you, and you have worldly people, worldly individuals, neighbors that you likely know, and they are telling you what a wonderful place the world is. You go to church? Oh, we don't go to church. We go out and play on a Sunday. We have football on a Sunday. We go away to the seaside on a Sunday. We don't go to church. We don't have the Bible. You're not allowed to do this? Oh, we're allowed to do it. And they say the world's a wonderful place. But they're wrong. They're wrong. Just as Pharaoh's daughter would have been wrong as she praised Egypt, because Egypt was soon to be destroyed to a very large degree. Whereas God's purpose for Israel would progress and advance and will one day be fulfilled in all the glories that God has planned. Boys and girls, learn that today. Two influences exercised upon Moses, and the same two influences are at work in your life. Be sure you don't heed the world, but rather listen to the gospel truth set forth in the Bible. We're going to have a word of prayer and we'll conclude our wee gathering. Father, bless your word to the boys and the girls. Keep them safe, Lord, physically, aye, but more importantly, spiritually. Bless the teachers. Undertake for every aspect of the school we ask. And even now write thy word upon hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.